Thank you, Francois. Wonderful to see Gunther and Andrea. Just take that beautiful sense of responsibility and mantle upon them to look after kids, to pray for kids. So thank you for that. And thank you, Francois Ingrid, for leading so incredibly well over the many years. And everything you put in will be massive. And it's just good to see things cascading on to others. So our kids are massively blessed. If I look around to this group kind of here during worship, I get really thrilled to see our young people. And that's tomorrow's leaders, tomorrow's generation. I also wanted to just say that about 12 years ago, we had a meeting, and Cliff DiGiacini, who is Finney DiGiacini's dad, who brought something of the charismatic revival into the greater Durban area, impacted our homes in the late 70s, early 80s, and he came to a meeting, and at the coffee bar, he said to me, "Young man, it's God is in this house." And it was probably the most the most outstanding thing anyone has said to me. And I looked at him, and sometimes God marks a word for you. Sometimes, you know, people say things to you, even as a leader, people say things to me all the time. I get a lot of emails, texts, beautiful, all good stuff. But the day he said that, I thought, gee, Lord, if that's true, if God's in this house, then we've got a lot. This morning, I felt that again. I felt during worship, I felt as we exalted Jesus, as we lifted him up, if God would visit us, if God would visit our church. And I know we hold on to the scripture that says, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. But this morning there was a sense to me of the presence of God and the life of God. And, you know, those are moments I think I will mark this morning again. I just, I'm not feeling well, kind of saying, Lord, help me. When I'm weak, you're strong. But just amazing sense of worship. Actually, Mikey, when you read that scripture, I thought it broke something. And even your prayer afterwards, I thought it broke something. And if God would visit our houses, our families, our churches, I don't know how it works. I don't know how he does it. But so when we began to sing, "Welcome, we welcome you with praise. We welcome him." And then somebody said, "Emmanuel." We began to sing, you know that Emmanuel is God with us? That actually God is with you. He's with you in your home, in your car, in our churches. And anyway, I just wanted to say, Lord, I praise you this morning that you're here. I praise you, God, that sometimes you seem to visit us. I know perhaps for me more at one time or another, more at another time. But I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're brooding. I think of Paul's prayer that we should be filled with your spirit, with your power. And Lord, we're done with human stuff, but we long for you. We can't explain your presence. It's like the wind. We don't know where it comes from, where it's going. But we love your presence, and we want to be like children in your presence. So won't you continue with us this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for the introduction. We close the series this morning on our vision. And it's vision, mission, values. And I just summarize it for us. I was going through the preach this morning. I'm thinking, Lord, please give life to this preach. And maybe I'll say things, you know, I'm more a spiritual preacher. I'm not a very good systematic preacher. I'm more a prophetic preacher. So sometimes I need kind of a sense of lift in my preachers. It's how I operate. But I want to say this. The first point is our vision. And I'm repeating something and probably saying, Nick, actually, we've heard you. But I want to say it again. And remember Dudley saying, I've tried to teach you guys this thing for 20 years. Do you understand it? Or even Paul says, the things that you've heard me say, go and repeat them. Go and teach them again. And so I don't want to come up with a new trick, but I want to say this morning that our vision is Jesus. And there's something vertical. Our vision, our passion is Christ. And why don't you turn with me quickly to Matthew 16, probably the text that has shaped my leadership in this church more than any other text. Okay, this text, I would say, is the one text that has had a most profound impact on me in this church for the last 16 or 17 years. I'd love just to read it with you. If you could turn there, it's Matthew chapter 16, picking it up from verse, let's say, 14 or 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, quite a interesting question, this, because he's actually asking about himself. Like people say, hey, so me going to France, Francis, so what do you think about me? It's kind of not the kind of question you really want to ask. It seems to be a little insecure if I were to go and ask that. But he says, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, underline they, the people. This is the crowd. This is what the word on the street. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. What strikes you about that? What strikes you about those three names? Or, so it's John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. What comes to mind when they say, actually, you know, this is the Son of Man. Maybe you're like one of those big sort of heavyweight prophets. It's a list of names. That's what that is. It's kind of a list, isn't it? I'll come back to that hopefully. But he says, but what about you, Nick? What about you, Dave, Renwick? What about you, Wendy? Or who do you say that I am? And this, if you get this right, your life will change. I believe that. I believe your life will be, I'm just thinking about tomorrow's leaders, these young people I talk about here, tomorrow's life group leaders, tomorrow's elders, tomorrow's lead elders, tomorrow's ladies that will go to the nations to go and preach in New York, or I don't know where they're going to go, but wherever you go. What about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christos, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? Now that we sort of, I wonder how he said that. He probably raised his voice. He was a little blushed or red. He was probably passionate. He was not just, well, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God, you're the Christos. He was probably in something of a state of awe, or something of a state of, can I say, revelation. Now, if you've had a revelation, it's not ho-hum, it's just something extraordinary. Here comes something that Jesus would say, which if you would underline these three verses, and that this could be your portion and your cup, you will achieve extraordinary things. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. You're blessed. Every spiritual blessing, you are blessed. I don't know if you can process that, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, Petros, small stone, pebble, little stone. And upon this massive rock, this Petra, upon this truth, upon this revelation, upon this glow, upon this aha moment, upon this life-changing reality that you have just encountered, that my Father has just shown you, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned them, don't go and tell anybody. This is eternal life, John chapter 17. This is eternal life. What is eternal life? What is, if people say, you know, like, this is like heaven. Well, eternal life is bliss, it's glory, it's power, it's might, it's peace, it's harmony, it's no pain, it's no tears, it's Jesus' perfect justice, it's glory, it's honor, it's like, it's just one day. Heaven is unspeakable, it's so glorious. And this is what John says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, brothers and sisters, if our vision is not Jesus, we will run out of steam. If our vision is other things, we could have a vision of a full church. We could have a vision of marrying the most incredible man or woman, depending what you are. Your vision could be the most successful and the hottest entrepreneurial guy. Once you achieve that, you will be disappointed. But the only thing that should fill your vision or your hope or your dream is Emmanuel, God with us. As I've said many times before, I remember everyone wanted to meet Nelson Mandela. I was intrigued. I'm thinking, we can actually know the living God, Jesus. You see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible says, he has set eternity in our hearts. God created a void in our humanity. God created something inside of us that we long for more. He set eternity. There is a human longing for something beyond. And that beyond, that more, is Christ, is eternal life. Our souls are starved, they are parched, they are empty, they are confused, they are longing for more. Aquinas said this, only God, He creates that hunger, He creates that thirst, He creates that void, He creates that longing, and only He can fill it. The world lures us into things, into shopping, into events, into cars, into homes, into holidays. The world says you need more, you need another car, you need one more holiday, you need another house, bro. You've got to add that extra bathroom on. You just got to keep going. You just need another million. You just need another thing. But God has set eternity. He's saying, listen, those things are cool. Another house, another car, don't worry. Another surf ski, whatever your hobby is. All that's cool. But it'll never satisfy you because that eternal thing is Jesus. And He is the one that if you get Him, you see, there's a list of people. If Jesus is on the list for you, you're going to run out of steam. He won't be able to use you to build His church. Peter is saying, I'm staking everything I have on Jesus. I'm leaving my fishing. I know who He is. I've seen who He is. And I'm on the road with Him. Another interesting thing is under the heading of, what is your vision? I heard a preach on Mark 4:41 where Jesus is sleeping and He's told the disciples to go to the other side. He's in the boat. He's kind of where the helmsman is probably sitting or sleeping. He's sleeping there on the cushion because that's where the cushion is. The helmsman sits and directs the boat. And there's waves buffeting and coming into the boat. And we know the story that Jesus, like, you know, they shake Him and say, like, oh, don't you care that we perish, God? And Jesus gets up and He calms the raging storm. And this is what Mark 4:41 says. He says, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? I mean, who is this? There's a raging storm. And actually what happens, they were no longer terrified or obsessed with the storm. Their focus turned onto Jesus. Their eyes, it's as if they said, no, whoa, 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 who is this? Why did they say that? Because they knew from the Psalms that only God calms the storm. It is impossible for man to calm a storm. And I can quote you the scripture. It says in Psalm 107 verse 29, He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. And the disciples said, who is this? This is God. This is Emmanuel. And He is incarnate and He is with us. Blessed are you. It's amazing that... let me get you my notes. You know that if you have the blessing of God upon your life, you've got everything. If you've got the shalom, the peace, the nothing missing, if you've got it's paid for from God, rich, poor, black, white, tall, short, old, young, educated, uneducated, if you have the blessing of God upon your life, you have everything. You see, if you encounter Jesus, you will do extraordinary things. You will build. Upon this rock, I will build my church. The church is not some little gray building with a little white cross and a little graveyard and a bell and a dusty old preacher with a dusty old beard. But the church of God is the community of faith that He wants to use this community of faith to change the world. These are radical men and women who are on fire for Jesus. They are holy men and women. They are men and women who say, even though my flesh desires that, I know I need to be holy. I am set apart. And it's this bold, courageous, fearless group of men and women who will declare the wonders of God in the nations of the earth. And the gates of Hades will not overcome you. Doesn't mean there won't be a fight. I want to tell you as a Christian, I've been a Christian just short of 40 years now. Doesn't mean there won't be a fight, but this is what it means, that the gates of Hades will not overcome, yes, the church and yourself. You will fight. At times you will fight. You will put on the full armor of God. You will be a man or a woman that has to go to war. You will fight for your holiness. You will fight for your marriage. You will fight for your faith. But the gates of Hades will not overcome you. In other words, we are a victorious people. And oftentimes, brothers and sisters, even I think, Lord, I'm done. Like, can I just chill? You know, can I just, actually got in here this morning and I just, well, wasn't sure when I thought, hey, it's so cool to come here, not to carry Red Point. Is everything okay, Lord? Just come and enjoy worship. Let the other guys do it. But actually, God wants to make you victorious. He wants you to overcome in your marriage and your business. You are little Petros. But on this massive rock, I'm going to build my church. Priesthood of all believers, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth, what you close. The fact that I have a gossip problem, I'm able to lock it. The fact that I have a lust problem, I'm saying, Lord, this must stop. The fact that I have a jealousy problem, it must stop. The fact that there is, look what's happened over the last few days in our government. The nation's reeling. People are confused. There is division. It's like stuff going on. What's happening? Iran's going up and down. People are being kicked out of jobs. There's a sense of what's happening in our country. The gates of Hades. We want victory. We want to see something of God's goodness in our lives. Amen? We don't want to struggle financially. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to struggle financially. Do you tithe? I mean, I've listened to all the why you should tithe and why you shouldn't tithe. I was one of those non-tithers. I didn't tithe. I don't know what happened, but as I looked at it and I saw it and I thought probably I had a stingy spirit, as I explored it, it's as if it was there for me to see, and I thought I could be wrong, but I could be right. Until God said, your struggle, Nick, is your stinginess. I gave my son, he gave everything. He made himself nothing. Take 10% as a starter and sow it every month. Just sow it, brother. Just bring it to the church. Come and bring your tithe. Honor God with your wealth. We sold our business. We tithe. Kati got inheritance. She tithed. And guess what? Our finances, we're not, but we good. Amen? And when Kati prays for finance, man, does it come. I don't know why. If you got a financial problem, in fact, ask Kati to pray for you. Come, I'm telling you, she'll pray for you. I mean, she said to me the other day, I've just been praying for finance. I want to tell you, both personally and in the church, there was an unlock of finances. Now, I'm not pointing attention to her. I'm just saying, whatever you loose, joy, blessing, kindness, whatever you loose, the gospel, it comes. Let me move on. Can I move on? So Jesus, Matthew 16, Emmanuel, is our vision. What's our mission? Our mission, our vision is to know Jesus. Our mission is to make him known. It's the horizontal piece. There's the cross, the vertical piece. Emmanuel, God with us. Our vertical piece is to make Jesus known. Let's just quickly read it again. In Matthew 28. When they saw him, verse 17, they worshipped him, the Great Commission. We'd like to improve this. I don't think we can. We like to. We might need to refine it for Pinetown or Durban or Bombay or give me another place. India, where? Barbados. We might have to refine it. We might say there's a spiritual principle, but it's the same idea. They worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We don't really believe that. Therefore, go and make disciples. The basis of discipleship is the authority of Christ. Of all nations, a disciple, as John Mark Comer said, is an apprentice, a close follower, a one who says, I will follow my rabbi. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Here it comes. This is not soft, brothers and sisters. And I want you to teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Like, that's not so cool. No, teach them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I'm with you to the end of the age. You see, once Paul, the angry church killing, church snuffing out persecutor of the church, was knocked to the ground with just a flash of Jesus' light, just a shadow of his light, he fell to the ground blind. And what he did is when 3 days later, didn't eat, didn't drink, blind, Ananias came and laid hands on him and said, just go and tell this guy the things he must suffer for my name. And Gunther and Andrea, there'll be times when you'll think, where are my other teachers? Why are these kids so difficult? You'll get home so exhausted. You'll get sick because some little kids have got chicken pox. You won't get chicken pox, but what did you get? That other stuff they give you, snot and all that. There is a suffering sometimes. There is an anguish. There's times even as leaders that there is a suffering. So Paul knew that he would suffer. But he also saw Jesus. And the first thing he does at once, Acts 9 verse 20, the moment he is had hands laid on him, and you can see, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. What happened to you? The Son of God. Who is he? His name is Jesus. You know the one I was persecuting? He is God. What's your message? I came to you, I want to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and in trembling and with much fear, Corinthians, because your Corinthians are an edgy church. They're aggressive, they've got lawsuits, they're following men, they're telling Paul he's a waste of time. And he says, I came to you with trembling. I didn't come to you with human wisdom or knowledge. I came to you trembling, weak. But I came to you with Christ and him alone, with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, but know nothing of myself. Our mission, brothers and sisters, is to be a blessing. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. Now go. You'll be a blessing. Just go. Just whatever you do. And I just wrote this. For Cutty and I, our home became the place that God used. As we got married, we lived for 6 months, and then we moved house. And God and our home became the place that God used for the kingdom. We opened our homes. It was that simple. Many people came into our house. We had a life group or a home group. We had meals. We used to pray for people. Roy Dyer was the guy that had the abscess on his brain, that tumor on his brain. And we called a special prayer meeting and we prayed. There were many other situations. There was a situation of a couple that the car came and the guy turned and he rolled his car and she lost her seven-month-old little baby. And we buried him. I was a life group leader. I was a nobody. I was just like an average deacon. And I remember here in Westville, we lived in Durban, Westville, and we came and we did the memorial service of little Jack with a bench. And I can remember the people there. And so I was now to be a blessing. I couldn't say Chris or whoever the elders were or Doug McDonald. And so you will be a blessing. We've helped people move. We went away together. Then we also released people like Francis and Ingrid did this morning. You will be a blessing. You'll be my witnesses. What's happened in Mauritius? I've just got a picture while I was worshiping of my mom, who's now old, very old, and not well herself. Just my sister sent a picture of them sitting on their veranda in Mauritius. And what happened is because of friendship, because of family, because of the connections in Mauritius, we were able to plant a church there with friends and family. But the thing is, it's got nothing to do with Nick. It's just got everything to do with, actually, I've been blessed, I've received Christ, I'll be a blessing. Okay, what's happening there? Oh, we've got a little Bible study. It's not happening. Well, maybe we can plant a church. And with lots of backwards, forwards, we are able to plant a church. We are now a blessing. That church today, people are being baptized. They've got four elders, of which my brother's one of them, who was here last Sunday. What an outstanding evening last Sunday. The nights with Hendon Venant, speaking vulnerably about his brokenness, his horrible life before he came to Christ, how he violated his marriage, his wife, his children, and he opened his heart to 200 or 300 people. And actually, my butch who was visiting, he came and he said, this is incredible. Hendon said to me, Nick, and I just thought, what a beautiful church. People made bunny chows. There was great worship. There was a sense of festivity. I just thought, God, this is good. This is good. This is good. Would you be a blessing? Would you be a blessing? Would you be a blessing? Come on, church. Come on, Red Points. Would you be a blessing? If you see someone in need, bless them. I'll be a blessing. It starts like little pieces, little bits, little bits, little bits. I remember we sent our leaders on holiday. I'll keep it as brief as that. We actually paid, and I mean, I thought, oh, this is a bit edgy, but do you know that we sowed a couple to go on a holiday, a nice holiday. I'm not asking you to do that for us in case anyone thinks that. Okay. Do you know that since we've been in ministry, one of the greatest, greatest blessings we've had in this church is our holidays. That people have been so good to us. We sowed a little seed of blessing a couple in ministry on holiday. Do you know that it has come back upon us? I don't know. I can't even begin to describe. Thirdly, let me turn to Ephesians. Can I just turn to Ephesians quickly? Ephesians chapter 4. Are you still there? I want you, Lord. I want nothing else. I want you, and if I get you, you're going to send me on a mission. If I get you, you're going to put your deep values within me. Can we just look at Ephesians chapter 4? This is a beautiful text. As a prisoner of the Lord. Ephesians is, they say, the queen of epistles. Some theologians, I said that last week or whenever. Ephesians chapter 1 to 3 is about wealth. It's about your riches in God. It's about your status in God. It's about you being blessed in every way in heavenly realms. It's just, it goes on and on and on about how much you have in God. Then he switches it in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord. Now he's saying, listen, we're seated in heavenly realms, but he's seated in jail, this guy. Okay? But he's understood in his mind's eye who he is in Christ. And then he sort of just throws us, he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy. Live up to the calling you have received. So what's the vision of Red Point? It's married to the vision of the church and your vision. I urge you then to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You've got to know who the caller is. What's your calling? One of the greatest questions is, who am I? What am I meant to do? Am I an entrepreneur? Am I a scientist? Am I a guy that should be a professor? What am I? Am I a mechanic? And who am I? Live a life worthy of the calling you received. This is a text on unity. You see, mission without unity will die. Can I repeat that? Mission without unity will die. And that's what Paul is arguing for here. He says, as a prisoner, I'm jailed. I'm locked in. I'm an apostle, but I'm stuck here. Man, come on, guys. I'm stuck. You're going to have to go now. I'm not going to make it out of here. I'm in trouble. I've run my race. He hadn't quite, but right, can you guys carry on? Nick, yes, Apostle Paul, great cloud of witnesses. Can you go now? Yeah. Cutty, can you go? Sandy, can you go? Mikey, can you go? That's the great cloud of witnesses. Live a life worthy of the calling you receive. Be completely humble. Humus. Oh, brothers and sisters, do we struggle with that? And gentle. That's probably my struggle. You see, how are you humble and gentle as a leader? That can be tricky sometimes. Gentle. I want you to be gentle. Sometimes Cody says to me, Nick, you're not being gentle. Like sometimes I'm a warrior. I'm in the front lines. I'm like David. I've got to, I'm being gentle. Please be gentle. And it's not condemnatory. It's God, speak to me. Teach me how to be gentle. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, which means long-suffering. You've got long-tempered and short-tempered. Be long, suffer for a long time with these people. Okay? Bearing with one another. Carry one another. Like I'm done with this family member. I cannot bear them any longer. That is an unbiblical stance. Somebody wave to me. The Bible says, bear with one another. Now, we've all got family members or church members or something. I can't believe they're phoning. Kati, put the phone off. or whatever, whatever. No, that is not good. We must bear with one another. Amen? That's what Paul says. Now listen, I don't score high marks with that one. In love, make every effort to keep the unity of the capital Spirit. The Spirit, that's what Paula prayed for this morning. What did she pray for? That the Holy Spirit would baptize us, come upon us. One Spirit joining us, unifying us. What for? The mission. Excuse me, pushing up my glasses all the time. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body. Jesus has, the body of Christ is one, friends. It's like this body. He used the metaphor. And one Spirit. There is only one Holy Spirit. Why is there division? Why are we wrestling? One Spirit, okay? Just as you were called to one hope. That hope is Jesus. The hope that He will come back. The hope that He rose again, ascended on high, advocates for us, sits at the right hand of the Father, makes petition on our behalf, and will soon come back to gather us to Himself. That's our hope. Our hope is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He will come back, and that we will be His bride, and we partake in the great marriage feast. I'm running out of steam here. Amen? That's our hope. That's one of Chris Finan's greatest messages. What kept the early church so radical? Beat me, man. Jail me. Saw me in two if you have to. Boil me. Throw me into the lake with a millstone around. That they did that. Separate a mother from her children so that she denies Jesus. She says, I won't. What was that? They had a hope that Jesus would soon come back. And they lived on the edge of the city. They said, listen, this. They gave houses away, cars, money. They said, listen, we have a longing. We have a hope. It's another hope. That's what makes mission very powerful. One hope, you call one Lord. Now, that's not one Savior, which means they just saved me. This is lordship. This is authority. This is, I have a new boss, to use a horrible word. He is my Lord. He tells me what to do. One faith. I believe this. You believe that. Francis says this. Nick says that. No. We're maturing into one faith, one baptism, which is, most theologians say, Holy Spirit baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then he swings it around and he said, listen, Jesus went to the earth and then he raised up again. As much as he was smashed, crucified, beaten, trashed, spat on, killed, they say of a broken heart. As much as he went down, it says there, when he ascended high and then kept in the train, what does it mean that he ascended? It also that he descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended was the very one who ascended. As down as Jesus went, so as high as he also went. Higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Jesus is the one who fills the universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles. So you might be an apostle here this morning. An apostle is a sent one. An apostle is a one who can build. An apostle goes. He establishes. An apostle is one of God's senior leaders. Who are the apostles in the house? Some to be apostles. Jesus makes apostles. We don't. Pastors don't. Some prophets, men and women who have a prophetic gift. He gave these gifts. You are prophetic. Now people say, I don't like prophetic people. Well, then you don't like the gift that Jesus has made people into. And I know there's no one here that says that. Some to be evangelists. That's why we have a blessing in Wally and Shirley. Wally just thinks evangelism. He will push us. He will lead us. He will nudge us. He will challenge us. Some to be pastors and teachers. What for? To prepare God's people for works of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up. That's what Franz and Ingrid have done. Even though Gunther and Andrew are senior in their own light, they have built others up and they take the ministry on. And so we all reach unity in the faith. There it is again. And in the knowledge of what? The Son of God. What's the goal? Knowledge of the Son of God. That's the vision. And become mature, not immature. I'm leaving. What do you mean? Well, I didn't get my way, so I'm going. I didn't get my way in my marriage, so I'm leaving. I didn't get my way in the business, so I'm leaving. Really? Isn't God might be shaping you? Isn't God might be just rubbing some edges off you, Nick? I remember saying to Cutty. If Chris Vinon preaches on the nations once more, I'm leaving this church. Huff, puff, and blow the whole house down. Driving down Curry Road, going towards the ticket. If Chris Vinon preaches one more time on the nations, I'm leaving this church. God said, Nick, actually, in a few years' time, I will use you to plant a church in Mauritius. Please be quiet, keep driving, and turn left where you go, and go to the Technicon, and just, amen? You see, that's the cool thing about God, is if we bear with Him, if we let Him do His work, He will do extraordinary things with us. How do I land this thing? Jesus is our vision. To make Him known is our mission. And then there's a whole lot of values that we have to carry this thing out. And I'll just list them. I won't preach on them. We want to be a healthy, multiplying church on mission. We don't want to be toxic. We don't get up here and say, ooh, you know, Jesus says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church. But I actually can't bear this girl. I can't bear her. But I'm here preaching about actually that I must do the Ephesians chapter 5, but actually I can't bear her. That's called hypocrisy. Amen? That's called toxic. That's called unhealthy. Healthy, multiplying. There's churches in Hong Kong from this church. Rob Rufus in Sydney, Finney DeGiacini. In Holland, Alex van Laren. Another one in Holland, Rob Curvo. There's one in Mauritius, Phil Kendon. What are the other ones? Help me, brothers. Australia, Matt McGaw. Durban, Granty. He took the shortcut. Multiplying. We're a church, brothers and sisters. We are the holy people of God. Cutty was saying to me, she went somewhere recently, and the jokes were cool, but but edgy, man, edgy. Language, edgy. Sometimes among Christians, we are the church, which means the holy ones, which means the called out ones. That's why this morning, I thought we had a moment with the very holy presence of God. And we're on mission. Sorry, I'm finishing. I just want to read these, then I'll be done. I don't know where it is. These are our values. We value the Bible, brothers and sisters. See this? Yeah, I got the phone thing. I got a phone. I got an iPad. I got an every eye thing imaginable. But this thing, we're a people of the Word. If we lose the Word, if we're not into the Word, we've got trouble. I don't want to preach on it, but brothers and sisters, to quote John Mark Comer, who's one of the more contemporary guys, please, brothers and sisters, bring your Bibles to church. I mean, I'm not fighting. I'm just saying, this is good. I can't get rid of my old Bible. Roy Dyer said to me, Nick, please lose that Bible. I said, Roy, I can't. It's a bit torn, it's tattered, but it's me. And Ruthie and the staff very kindly gave me a new leather thing that has lasted. The Word, the Holy Spirit we heard this morning. Worship. Tula, well done this morning, bro. Well done this morning, because there was a spirit of worship this morning. And it's a lifestyle. The gospel. In other words, the gospel means we forgive one another. The gospel means sorry. Sandy, I am sorry. I'm sorry I did that. And Sandy is obliged to forgive me. Amen. But I don't know who he thinks he... Nick said sorry. It's done. But Nick does it again. Sandy is obliged to forgive me again. Sorry, Sands. 70 times 7 in a day. Because Jesus knew what they would do to him and what would be done. Discipleship. We love discipleship. Personal devotion. Hospitality. This church rocks with that. Multi-ethnic. Multi-generational. There's tension in our country. Multi-generational, social justice, life groups, living out your call, serving, sending. Our vision is Jesus. Our mission is to make Him known. Our values, which we keep, we hold dear to. Actually, I'm a man of the Word. I don't feel like reading your Word, Lord. No, but it's a value I have. I keep reading. I keep going. Lord, can I have a break? I keep going. It's a value. It creates a culture of the kingdom. And so I'm finished. Should we stand together? I'm going to hand over to Jamie. He's going to do communion. But can I just pray for us as we just close? Lord, I thank you this morning that your hand is on us. Your hand is on our heads, on our families, on our children. That you've called us to get to find out who you are, Lord. You're not on a list. You are way above the list. Way, way above the list. Thank you that you send us out to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to be a unified church, unified elders, unified deacons, unified body of Christ, one body. Thank you, Lord, for the values you've given us over the years that now become strong cultures. They're cultured, Lord. That's in our home, it's in our marriages, it's in our businesses. I pray for a good week for us, God. I pray for every visitor that's here. Lord Jesus, bless our visitors. If you're visiting us here this morning, I pray God's richest blessing upon you. I pray that as you've come here this morning, God the Holy Spirit, whether you even know it or not, will bless you powerfully, that you'll leave here and that something of God's Spirit and God's seed would ignite you and bless you for the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. So Lord, I commit this series to you and I ask that you'd help us now live it out. In your precious name, I pray.